All right, let's go national on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. Wherever you get your pods, make sure you download us and always to text us at 590-590. If you add a comment or a question, our boy Sammy McKee will read them on air. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Derek Brandale, Frank the Tank with you the next hour.
Nice.
Top story? Seems like it's an ongoing thing with the Edmonton Oilers. But a second straight setback in the state of Florida has them losing last night to the Florida Panthers 5-3, and yet digs their hole a little deeper as we get to that all-important JB American Thanksgiving.
I know. People talk about the deadline like it's real playoff cutoff time. There's lots of hockey to go. I think they have 65 games left here. I know. You guys got them dead and buried, eh?
I don't want to be the bearer of bad news here, but they're just not getting better.
I know. My main defense of why I have yet to give up on this Oilers team is the teams fighting for the wild card spots are not good. They're 8 points out of a wild card spot right now. Seattle, Anaheim, Arizona, okay.
I think the good news, if I can find any silver lining here, is to your point on the 7th or 8th, and you're a computer guy, so I know you'll just punch a few buttons and you're going to give me the exact answer. The feeling is for right now, 7th or 8th, you would need low 90s to make the playoffs. So
you need to play at 106 point pace from now on.
And which would put them in what? A 645, 650 clip?
Yeah, about. That would get them to 95 points.
So maybe a little lower if in the number is 92.
93 could be it. Yeah.
You know, 90, 92 points.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, maybe it lowers the clip. But
I get the point that they're not dead, but they're dying.
Well, how close, based on, again, what we saw last night, how close is this team to snapping their fingers and turning themselves into a 9 or a 640 clip?
Not that close. I mean, I watched that game last night, as I know you guys did too, and that Florida Panthers team is a good team. And they played an emotional, engaged game. Tkachuk said they're going to take it to the alley, and they did. They're physical. They looked like the team that had a playoff success last year. Edmonton did not look on their level. However, they score three times. They got some bad breaks. They're breaking the puck out, and it hits Hyman in the back, ends up in their net. You know, a drop stick by Verhaeghe falls under Broberg's skates, goes in their net. Like, they had some bad breaks. They don't feel terrible to me, despite the fact that the record's there.
For the second consecutive game, they go up 2-0.
I know.
And you can't find a way to make that work for you.
You need it so bad right now. And, like, Picard wasn't terrible. Maybe you don't love the second goal or whatever. He was fine. They just need one game where their goalie is the better goalie in the game. Just a game. Because now they got Carolina coming up.
Think that, like, the ask of even Pickard last night was a really big ask, and I thought for the most part he did terrific. I really did.
Okay,
for a guy that never envisioned feeling like you have to have a must win riding on this, the season riding on your shoulders when your $5 million guy is in the minors. Yeah. Like, that's, I thought he made some really good saves that were enough to give them a chance to win.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
McDavid scores twice, penalty shot goal and a one timer from the goal line.
I think it was the game winning goal, Stenlund goal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Typical Edmonton Oilers, where I don't know what Evan Bouchard is thinking here.
He does not defend well.
Even the fact that he got caught flat-footed, you can almost live, and I hear the Edmonton Oilers fans already, you can live with the fact that you got caught up.
Yeah.
I just hated his response to get back in the play. And I don't know if you saw it. I had to reply.
I watched it several times.
Three times I watched it, and there's no sense of urgency to get back.
Nah.
And once the puck comes back out to Stenlund, Bouchard decides to take the wide turn.
I know.
And that scenario, you're taught, if you had any decent coach at all as a kid growing up, you know that is a stop and start. You know that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. And this guy decides to turn like a train.
He's spinning like a top. Another rebound. He's around. Just stop. Find a guy.
And if you would have stopped and started, there's even a chance that you could have blocked the shot.
For sure.
But you just don't allow yourself to recover.
Yeah.
And I just can't imagine right now where you're Connor McDavid or you're Leon Draisaitl and you're watching this over and over and over again.
The frustration would be very real. And so that is the biggest drama underlying all of these conversations is what becomes of their frustration? You know, and it's not
what's,
me.
But what's the next convo here? I guess it's, you know, the coach goes now. So now how happy is Jay Woodcroft right now to be out of that situation? Where
he's not even watching.
Honestly, they did him.
He doesn't care.
They did him
it
a
was
big
mercy.
Yeah, they got him out of there. But it's just, like, there's levels to these conversations, right, where it's like, it's the general manager. That's the coach goes. Yeah. And then it's like, it's the players.
We'll talk goalie in a bit.
Okay, as we mentioned earlier, let's welcome in Justin William, former NHL forward, three-time Stanley Cup champion, Conn Smythe, and now the star of Sportsnet NHL hockey on Rogers. Justin, how'd you like that?
How'd I like what, the intro?
Yeah, the intro.
Or star of Rogers.
Elliot Friedman wrote it for me.
No, good. It's been good. It's interesting. It's seeing how your side works. Everyone says welcome to the dark side. I'm not sure what it means, but I've enjoyed it so far.
Listen, we were just talking about the Edmonton Oilers, and happy to get your thoughts on what you've seen so far. And you've been on Stanley Cup champion teams. You've been on teams that a lot more was expected of. Where do you see them as of waking up this morning?
I see a team who's had a little bit of tough puck luck. I do think that. I think they're playing better than their record. But, you know, at the same time, we're in a result-oriented league, right? And when you don't win, there's going to be scrutiny. Do I think they're as bad as a record? Absolutely not. Do I still think they're Stanley Cup contenders? Yes, I do. But they obviously need to get there. And sometimes the hardest part is getting there. I remember when I played in 2006 for the Hurricanes, we won the Stanley Cup. The very next year, we missed playoffs. And I thought we even had a better team. So it's important to get in. And right now, you know, things aren't going well for them, clearly. But I think it obviously starts in the net. I don't, you know, take last night away. I think he played quite well. But I still think at the same time that, you know, if you're getting sub 900, it doesn't really matter what the players are doing.
Well, how much do you believe in that, like, momentum of an early start, whether positive or negative, having an effect on the whole season? Like, it's tough to say a bad start's enough to write off the year, but it does kind of make guys start gripping the stick tighter and maybe making some decisions they wouldn't normally make without that pressure.
Yeah, sure. No, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of like when you start the season, you always want to get that first goal out of the way, so you don't even have to think about it anymore.
Right.
And you know, once you get the first goal out of the way, you kind of relax a little bit. And I think they need to get themselves back just in the conversation of playoffs, right? They're so far back now. They look at it every morning. They hear about how poorly they're playing and how how they're underperforming. They just need to block that stuff right out right away. You know, I'm sure the new coaches staff is, that's exactly what they're doing. Just trying to be like, we're in this together. These people in the room, look around. Okay. These are the guys that got us in it. And these are the guys that are going to have to get us out of it. So, I think it's important to have that belief, or you have to have that belief within the dressing room that, you're capable of getting yourselves out of it. And we've seen in the past that, that they have a very talented team and they're more than likely to do it.
We're talking to Justin Williams. Justin, as far as the weight of the world seemingly on Connor and Leon's shoulders, I mean, you've been part of a leadership group in the past. If you were to advise them on how to handle this or you know, what they should be or saying or doing, where would you go first?
Well, I think one of the really important things is, Kipper, is if you're not producing at the level that you've been accustomed to, the team needs to start winning in different ways. And they're giving up far too many grade A opportunities to win 3-2, to win 2-1. And there seems to be a lot of pressure on them as the fact that if I'm not scoring, if I'm not getting 2-1 or 1-2 or, you know, 4 points in a night, the likelihood of us winning is not very high. And this team has to find a way to win in different ways. And they need to grind. Just start out, be like grinders in the first and just be like, I'm not going to give the other team nothing. And then see how that goes.
Justin, I don't know if you ever played for any first-time coaches, but I would be interested to get your perspective on these guys handling a coach who hasn't coached in the NHL before. I think back to an old teammate of mine, Jeremy Colleton, eventually trying to coach Kane and Taves. You know, what would the relationship be like for them? Would it be McDavid and Draisaitl trying to bring Knobloch along? Or how does that relationship work when you have a new guy calling the shots who hasn't done it before at that level?
Well, he certainly needs to, and it's not easy coming in. I mean, we interviewed him on Sportsnet. They're coming in, and you know, had some questions for him, and but he needs to make this team his own. He needs to exude his own confidence and make it his team. Like, you know, it seemed a little. You know, definitely unsure of the start a little bit, you know, thrown into kind of the gauntlet of getting into the Edmonton Oilers right away. But he needs to do it, you know, just impose his will on the team. Be like, this is what we're going to do, boys. This is my leadership group. You are going to pass my message onto the leadership group. The leadership is going to pass that message along to the rest of the team. And this is the way we're going to go. He can't be, you know, wishy-washy. It's got to be, this is the way we're going to do it. I know I'm a first-time head coach, but I have confidence in my abilities, what I've seen in the past, and what I expect this team to be. And I think that's a really important thing. You can't be, you know, again, as you said, hey, guys, what do you think we should do? It's, we're doing this. Yeah. This is the way it's going to be done, and let's try and follow through with it.
Hey, Justin, we know what the spotlight means to places like Edmonton with star players, and we've seen Connor and Leon at times get frustrated with the media here, but I guess my question to you is, like, you know, what do you do if you're getting asked the same questions 10,000 different ways? At times, I don't blame them, but at the same time, I don't necessarily blame the media who have to go out there and sell something.
Right, true. I mean, once you're a member of the media or you're a fan, doesn't matter who's watching the game. If you're seeing the same thing over and over, I mean, chances are you might hear the same question over and over. I think that just kind of goes without saying. But you know, if you're a captain, you're assistant captain, you have to stand there after the games and you have to you know, answer the questions. You have to stare at the media right in the face, and in turn, that's resonating to all the fans out there that, you know, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not shying away. Okay. Answer the questions, and do your best. I mean, that's part of the job. It's really not that hard. Obviously it's frustrating when, you know, you yourself are frustrated and someone right after the game throws a microphone in your face and be like, what are you doing out there? I mean, it's frustrating. I get it, right? I've had that microphone in my face where I'm not proud of the effort or the product that you've been putting on the ice. But you just got to own it. I mean, everybody wants the same thing. We all want to win. Fans want to win. Coaches want to win. I'm pretty sure the media want you to win. It's better for them as well. So, listen, you just got to answer them. You got to just own it. You know, if you were crappy that night, I was crappy. Okay. If you're good, they'll be answering your questions that you'll want to answer.
So where are you at now in terms of you're partially in the media. Are you you're still working with Carolina is my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And how are That's you enjoying correct. That? Yeah. Is you're kind of walking the line, trying to do a little of both right now. What are you kind of feeling out what it is after your career that you like best? Because obviously very recently removed from playing.
No, correct. I mean, I'm pretty much kind of wanted to, figuring out what I want to do when I grow up, when I get older. I'm doing that at 40 years old here. So
yeah.
I've got my toe in a little bit of everything. And fortunately, the Hurricanes have been great. You know, Tom Dundon and Don Waddell, the whole staff there, Roddy Brindamore, obviously a really good friend of mine. So, I'm advising on that side of it and working in the development side actually a little bit too with a couple of the draft picks. So, it's been a perfect kind of a perfect thing with me. I'm able to stay home and be around my kids, which is, which was really important to me. And I have that flexibility, obviously, with doing the media and being an advisor right now.
Got to ask you then about Carolina. They seem like they're okay. I mean, right now their record suggests they're a middle of the pack team, but have they had enough success in the last few years where they can maybe pull off a Tampa Bay and say, it's not really about 82 games. It's about getting ready for the playoffs.
I know. I've thought about that, and it seems like that's something that you say kind of at the end of the year. I mean, everybody wants to win the game. I mean, you don't go into a game and be like, "Well, it's not that important." You just don't. We're not wired that way. Hockey players aren't wired that way. But I don't give a heck if we finish fifth or we finish first. I'd feel a lot better if we finish first. But you just got to get invited to the dance, right? And you never know. And I think it's pretty wide open. I think, not any team in there says, they're definitely winning it all, or not two teams that you say, well, one of them two are winning it. It's there's two handfuls of teams that you can say, you know what, these guys could do it. And Carolina, we're finding our way, right? We've added a few new pieces to the lineup. We're finding our way, but being middle of the road with our average game, is not terrible, because I see a lot of things improving on the horizon.
So for that Carolina team, you mentioned that, they've been close, this team, they've gotten in playoffs and there's good things coming for them on the horizon. It feels like Rod Brindamore is that team, right? Like that his core, his culture is sort of what everything is built around. You see that happening in Vancouver where Rick Tocchet goes there and kind of brings that swagger with it. How does that bleed throughout an organization when you have a coach who's got that sort of mentality, this sort of, you wouldn't mess with the coach. If you put the puck in the corner, the coach is probably coming out with it, is the point.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, there's something to be said where you speak to the players in the dressing room and you tell them, you know what, guys, I've been in your shoes. Okay. I know what it feels like. I know how hard these 82 games are. I know what I'm asking of you is hard, but bear with me. At the end of the day, at the end of the season, you could look back and be proud of what you've put out there as a product. But yeah, I mean, obviously Brindamore and Tocchet, guys that played together. And it actually seems like a lot of the players I played with now, they seem to be just coaches or GMs or just kind of, they're moving along the ladder here. So, Rick's done obviously an excellent job so far. He's got them playing extremely well. They've got their top players playing at the top level, which is obviously conducive to a lot of success. So, Roddy's been extremely good at doing exactly what he does, is getting the best out of his players more consistently every night than most teams.
What about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, our Sammy here gave Quinn Hughes the Norris, and I'm like, the season's just starting. And I'm watching last night him move laterally, beat two guys along the blue line to get to the net and bury the first goal of the game. And I'm like, yeah, that guy's going to win the Norris. Justin, it was like me watching Brian Leach all over again. Just that incredible ability on his skates, edge work. Makar, we've seen over the last few years, but I don't see Quinn Hughes slowing down at all here.
Yeah, we were on the panel there a couple weeks ago, and they said, is Quinn Hughes going to score 100 points? And I said, no, he's not going to score 100 points. That's ridiculously hard. But, I mean, you see the way he's going right now. And usually, you know, a player is having kind of a special year when you watch the game and you're like, how did that happen? He made that look so easy. Yeah. And that's what the great players do. I mean, you can tell on that one, I think you're talking about, Kipper, that it looked like the goalie definitely thought he was going short side roof and he went far side roof. And, you know, it's just taking what they give you. And he's a perfect example of an undersized defenseman just using his body and his edge work to perfection. And he doesn't spend a lot of time in his zone.
Last question for me, Justin. I just want to get your thoughts on superstars or even just, you know, good contributors who have off years. Like Austin Matthews scores 62 years ago. Last year he scores 40, and we don't really have an explanation for that difference. None of it. We watched very closely all year long. Tough to see. You know, this year McDavid, I think, is fifth on his team in scoring. You know, what happens from year to year when you have really elite players who sometimes it just doesn't click? Like Hughes, it's clicking this year. The year before, maybe not as much.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of it is puck luck. Yeah. It's not everything, but there is an element of puck luck to it, right? I mean, you look at a goalie. I mean, it works for every position. You look at a goalie, and I had this goalie put up a 925, and the next year put up a 901. I mean, I don't know. I mean, what happens? Confidence is an interesting thing, and we say, you know, sometimes you hear it's 50% mental, it's 50% physical. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure. Once you get to the NHL, it seems like the mental side is almost more important than the physical side. Is making yourself feel good before the game and tricking your mind and the fact that you know, maybe if you haven't scored in 10 games, maybe trick your mind in the fact that, you know what, I'm on a 6-game goal streak. I'm going to get another one tonight. it's important. That's for sure. But I don't really have an answer of kind of where you are, but through the 82 games, you know, it'll probably even out. I'm pretty sure McDavid will be tops on his team in scoring.
Well, don't feel bad. We've been doing the show now 3 years. We've never had an answer for anything.
We got nothing bigger.
Nothing. There's absolutely nothing.
Perfect. We just talk, right?
We do. Just literally all this is.
We do. Hey, Justin, great stuff, man. Love having you on the show. Enjoy your stuff on TV, all right? And don't be such a stranger. Come back and visit us.
All right. Pleasure, boys. Thank you.
Game 7. Thank you. Justin Williams, Mr. Game 7.
Yes, sir, Mr. to you.
You know, it also helps.
Hell of a nickname.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool name. just on Quinn Hughes, it certainly helps when a couple other guys are having career years too, right?
Right. When the other best players are going, it helps.
The puck luck continues to roll, and you'd like to think the majority of it's earned.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are some nights when you think you're working hard enough to earn it, and it just doesn't happen.
No, just doesn't go your way. And I actually really like that answer from, you know, Williams, that, like, sometimes it just doesn't bounce your way.
Hockey is hard.
Yeah, and then, you know, okay, you have a cold for 1 month, and you feel crummy for 2 weeks, and, you know, a couple bad bounces, it happens.
Coming off talking about the Edmonton Oilers with Justin and a little bit on the media side, mm-hmm. Do you have that clip last night where our boy Mark Spector was at it again?
We do have the clip, and we can play it here, and then we can talk about it after, if you could do that, Derek.
Are you better off to try to win this thing 4-1 or try to win it 7-5?
You love this question, but I've answered it so many times. We're trying to keep the puck out of our net, obviously. That's our main focus, and obviously we haven't done that, again, for a number of different reasons. So we're always trying to defend.
I get what Mark's trying to ask. He's basically saying, instead of trying to win a low-scoring game, are you better off just playing run and gun with all the offense you have? That's the shape of the question.
Yeah.
I would think this is a mutually annoying situation for both of them.
Yeah.
Where it's like
I don't want to come in here and have to ask this.
Going in there after every one of these gut-wrenching losses that's taking them further and further away from the playoffs, and he's got to go in there and ask these questions over and over.
Well, at the end of the day, he's just trying to get a reaction off of something that is in the ballpark of always the same question. Yeah. And
is there something different you can be doing?
On the surface, a loss is a loss. Mm-hmm. So what difference does it make, 4-1 or 7-5? Does it make you feel better, Mark, if we lost 7-5? And
we'd be more entertained.
But I get it, Mark. I get it. You follow the team every day. You've got to ask the tough questions. You got to get a reaction. You're hoping to have a different answer. It's not easy, folks.
And
from the media side or Connor's side.
I actually don't think Connor's answer's that bad either.
I thought, like...
It's not.
You know, he's saying, like, I've heard this before. I don't have a new answer. Yeah. I think he's well within his rights to answer that. Like,
I marvel.
I don't disagree. Yeah, I don't disagree. It's just...
what Justin had to say there, I marveled at that answer because, you know, put me in that situation. Hey, I feel like once a month I would say something really stupid. Like, I don't know. I mean, you've done them before. It's just like, I don't know how the hell you sit there and these guys look you in the eye and they're like he said, boy, you are bad out there. Like, this is the NHL. It's hard. Like, I don't know how you don't lose your mind all the time.
It's true. Like, every level I played, I was so excited to get interviewed that didn't matter. I can't imagine if every day after bad games, people are like, turnover. I was there.
Listen, you could have a natural reaction without really thinking about it, and there should be some leeway for that because you are in a heat-of-the-moment situation. But if you look at it on a big picture, any athlete, any political person out there,
you'll
never win that battle against the media. They come at you every day.
Why are you so pissy?
Right? Well, they always get the last say.
That's the best clip of all time.
That's their job.
It gave voice to a lot of people's feeling.
To get the last say.
Yeah, no, I know. And you're right. You're 100% right. So sometimes you just have to say...
Justin said it best when we just talked to him. Face the music and just try to get out of it.
You know, it's just
the best way you can.
It's a shame that it's just not even close to the story of where the Oilers are at. It's like the story is the players are getting frustrated.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were talking about before
we suck.
This part of the show is like, what does that lead to then? Does that lead to, you know, you're not going to mutiny against a coach you've had for three games, like requesting trades for the, like, fans want the goalies gone. What do you do? I don't know.
What is the next step for the Oilers here?
Honestly, it's to try to go 9-1-1. That's what it is.
Keep on.
But you're going to do that with Pickard and...
No, I don't think so. I don't see it.
Stu Skinner?
You've got to try now. You have no choice. If you're Jeff Jackson, if you're Paul Coffey, if you're Ken Holland, you have no choice. You don't think about a trade right now. You don't think about anything.
What?
No, it's not out there, guys. It's not out there. If it was out there, it would have happened by now. It's too hard. Money in, money out. No one's prepared to make a deal. No one's throwing you a lifeline. The only thing you can do is hope and pray that this team goes 9-1-1 and gets themselves back in it.
You better lock it up.
You know what would help you go 9-1-1? UC Saros.
But I know where you're going.
Well,
I know where you're going.
We're a nationally televised show here, and I don't want to, like, be the Toronto guy, but, like, you know, at some point, if you're McDavid or Draisaitl, you look around the room here, like, where is this getting way better? Like, are you got undeniable prospects?
Well, they're not that different from a team that's been good, is the solace.
I think they are. I don't know. You watch them play every night. Like, I'm not saying they're going to demand a trade. I don't know what's going to happen. But at some point, rubber's got to hit the road here. He's one of the best players of all time. He's rotting.
They're so leaky defensively. Yeah. And with no Grant Fuhr to bail them out, I don't see another 140 points making a difference out of Connor McDavid or 50 goals out of Leon. I don't see that being, this is not baseball. This is not football where one quarterback or one pitcher has a chance to significantly tilt the game every time he's out there.
Yeah.
This is hockey, man. You need more. More guys going, more guys defending.
It's just, yeah. The clock is ticking there, and the clock's ticking here on, and I understand with Nylander and with Marner, their contracts are up, and like I know like it's not a situation that they're the only ones in it.
Yeah. But I will say this is a conversation that comes up among buddies. You know, I do hear people say, do you think one of them would want to get out of there?
Listen,
and it's like, I don't.
If this thing doesn't turn around, there is a very good chance this whole thing implodes. Okay? Do you think for one second Leon Draisaitl signing this summer when he's eligible, if they miss the playoffs?
No shot.
Yeah, great observation.
Thank you, Leon.
We have Oilers
lovely
drops
drop
for days, huh?
Right?
No, I don't know. So it's tough to know.
That's where you go first, is Leon. Mm-hmm. Don't even talk to me about Connor McDavid until we find out what Leon is going to do this summer in the event that they miss the playoffs.
Yeah, like if Leon's not going to sign, you couldn't possibly entertain letting him leave for nothing.
And then where is Connor's world without a world without Leon?
I just think they'll do whatever it takes. They will overpay to the moon.
No, it's not about overpaying, JB. It's about who's giving me the best opportunity to win a Stanley Cup.
It depends if that's where those guys' priority is, I suppose. And if we also don't think that this Edmonton team is that much farther off than the next team, who I understand where their record is right now. It does look that way. It's just such a crazy concept.
A world in Edmonton without a Connor McDavid.
No.
3 years from now. That's what you're saying.
I can't see it happening.
Yeah.
I think that they would change everything else to his liking, to make it happen.
To me, but he's a different type of guy to me than like a Tavares or like a, you know, a Sid. Or I think he wears his heart way more on his sleeve than a lot of these guys do. Like, you know,
yeah, he's an emotional guy.
It's like, oh, I want to be with one guy my whole, I don't know.
I got news for you. All he cares about
is winning the cup.
Tunnel vision from last summer, Stanley Cup or bust.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch his body language right now, you can sense the stress on him feeling like it's going the other way.
Yeah.
First time in his career, I feel that sense of real stress or real frustration that this is not heading in the right direction.
I will say, so I've been waiting to write an article just on, it's more of a summertime topic, but how every star is not going to win a Stanley Cup anymore. And I know I'm not the first person with that observation. Brian Burke has said it a lot, but it used to be, if you look at the greats in NHL history,
yeah.
I'm saying it used to be everyone got it, but like Lindros and Marcel Dion, everyone eventually got theirs. 32 teams is just too many teams. Not all the stars are going to get cups anymore unless they take a page out of the NBA and say, I'm going to force my way onto X team that has a chance every year, basically, or, you know, those teams, those guys, Kevin Durant, get yourself to Golden State.
But I think there's a difference between stars and between McDavid. McDavid is one of the best hockey players that ever have stepped on ice.
He's going to win a Stanley Cup.
He's going to get it.
Well, where is he going to win it?
Jesus.
That's the question.
Where, Justin?
I don't know. This Oilers team that I don't have written off yet is got good pieces.
You're going to look really smart. If they get hot here and they turn around, they go deep in the playoffs, you're going to look like a very smart man. But I don't see it.
It's got to happen.
They're 8 points out of a wild
Wednesday.
Card spot.
Like, they got to win Wednesday.
It's
they have to win Friday.
Late early expression.
Game time?
Game time.
It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, Borny, who do you see as the teams that are in direct competition with the Oilers to make the playoffs? So who would you give me there?
Love that question. Okay. Arizona, Calgary.
Arizona is a plus 425 underdog.
You buried Seattle last week on me.
Yeah, but they're in the group of teams who's going to be sniffing around there at the end.
So they are, the Arizona Coyotes are a plus 425 underdog to make the playoffs. So Vegas is not believing in them. The Anaheim Ducks are plus 725 to make the playoffs, a minus 1,200 to miss.
Oh, my.
So there's two teams that are, you know, in the mix that Vegas doesn't necessarily believe in. Bet365 doesn't believe in.
Anaheim?
Anaheim. Dude, St. Louis stinks. Plus 725. Anaheim stinks.
All those teams are no good.
Calgary Flames are plus 135 to make the playoffs. So Calgary's pretty good. So Bet365 is starting to believe in them a little
big
bit.
2 points in Seattle.
But hey, have you seen Calgary's next 15 games?
Oh, it's a meat grinder.
They play everyone who's good in the league, essentially. Their schedule leading up to Christmas is ruthless. It's Vegas and Dallas and Colorado, and it's, I think they have one non-playoff team in their next 15 games.
So yesterday they were minus 175 to make the playoffs, the Oilers. After last night, the number went down to minus 150.
Oh, it's slipping.
It's slipping a little bit. So, and who was the other team you mentioned? The St. Louis Blues? Vegas, they kind of believe in them. It's plus 175 for them to make the playoffs. So they, I guess it may be more of a pedigree thing with them and the guys have been around.
They've got some players.
But yeah, so I just found that interesting just to see what other, you know, looking at this, plus minus 450 for the Canucks to make the playoffs. We're sitting here in November. Probably wouldn't have been having that conversation at the start of the year.
Wild.
I had a couple other ones quickly here. There's no hockey games tonight, obviously. But they have a few numbers
up. And no games Thursday.
Yeah, no games Thursday.
Yeah, I'm not coming to work.
What are we going to talk about? Well, on Friday, we get to talk about the Leafs game because the Leafs play our show. So that's good. Regular season goal totals. They have three guys up here on Bet365. Yeah. Austin Matthews. It's even on both sides of it. The number they have for him is 54.5.
On the season?
On the season. It's even money on both sides. Which way would you lean?
Over.
Over?
Over on that one.
Kippy?
I think 54 is a really good number.
Me too.
The books are very good.
I think that's 54, 55.
Yeah.
It's a heck of a season.
You want to hear some cool passing stats, Kip? It's related to this.
Mm.
The number one duo in terms of primary shot assists this year is Marner to Matthews. 44 times Marner has set Matthews up for a shot. Not a goal, but a shot. It's a cool stat, a shot assist. Schmaltz to Keller in Arizona, and Keller to Schmaltz are 2 and 3. So that duo is pretty deadly in the desert.
That's interesting to me. I feel like that's an actually underrated pairing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we talk about guys that are underrated, but they're unreal. Like really underrated.
Yes.
So we acknowledged Sunday that the Leafs aren't one of the better passing teams in the league.
Right.
Respectively, 29th, 30th, and 31 and three
in
different.
In ozone passes completed,
So if you took Marner out of the equation, how much worse would they be?
Very much worse.
A lot worse.
Significantly much worseness.
How many teams wouldn't be way worse if you took their best passer off the team? That's kind of a...
The next pairs are like Scheifele and Connor, Kucherov and Point. Like, it's all...
And most high danger scoring chances this season, Matthews and Tavares are tied for second with Hyman at 47. Kachuk has 48. And James Van Riemsdyk cracking into the top 10 with 39 high danger scoring chances this year.
Did not see that coming.
All right. That was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, we'll take one more break and then we'll come back and get around the league with some news and notes, including what's going on in Columbus. Reading.
Nothing.
Patience.
Stagnant.
Man, there's another market that just doesn't want us talking about them.
No, they're like, can we not be on your show? We're Columbus.
No, and how about Prince Harry sighting.
Did I say William on the lineup?
No, I don't know. I think I just almost did.
I get them mixed up.
And the, what is it, Duchess of Sussex?
All right.
I don't know. Call my mom.
Biscuits.
I don't know.
Call my mom.
I don't know.
Sorry.
Tea and biscuits after the break.
Yeah.
Rumor, Real Kipper and Bourne.
Get smarter when you listen to Hockey Talk, the Hockey PDO cast with Dmitry Filipovich. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right, if the Vancouver Canucks start to their season wasn't a surprise enough, Prince Harry drops the puck last night.
See how long
at the
he
Canucks
held it?
Game.
Yeah, Hurdle had some quotes about having to tell him to drop it.
That's hilarious.
Not sure what he thought was going to happen. I guess he didn't know you'd drop it.
I mean, was that his first hockey game?
I don't know. He seemed very invested.
I don't think we've ever seen him before at a game.
No. But yeah, he was into it. He was watching. Like when they scored, he was reacting appropriately. He seemed to be in tune.
And this was because of the Invictus Games 2025, I think.
I don't know.
You know better than me, buddy. I had
24? I don't know.
Isn't Meghan Markle Canadian? Isn't she?
Yeah, she...
Don't they live in Victoria or something?
She was in Toronto because she was in that series, Suits.
Yeah.
Which was based out of Toronto.
Okay. Sounds like the three of us know nothing about this.
Wow. Really nothing.
Can we get a correspondent? Like, oh my God. Somebody's listening to this. It's like,
I'm gonna try to...
Royal correspondent.
Try to put a charity golf tournament together this summer. Do you think there's a chance I can get Harry to
come?
For
sure. He'll play, yeah. No security.
If he's doing the NHL circuit, how hard could it be?
Come on, let's get him on the show. I'm sure he'll come in.
I mean, it's awesome for him to go to see the Canucks play. Like, they are great.
Yeah, good. They won. That's nice.
Barely. Yeah, they beat them 3-1. That's barely
beating it. Had a Sharks goal disallowed and a couple of breaks, but hey.
Yeah.
Can't all be Monets.
Did you see, this is a very inside hockey thing. I think Kipper will not care. But did you see that the Canucks matte black helmets?
I was actually hoping you would bring this up so we could test Kipper's reaction. Yeah. Did you see the paint on their helmets was flat and not glossy?
Yeah.
Could you believe it?
It looked awesome. I love that look.
Really?
Yeah. It looks way better.
Better than the shiny, two-tone golden Knights helmets?
I like when the Kings wear those silver buckets. I like the gold buckets. I like those, but I think the matte black look good, too.
You know the conversation we never had over two games in Sweden
was the blue helmets
to the white jerseys.
Yeah.
Can you believe I'm the one that's bringing it up?
I'm excited about it. Let's talk about it. I thought it looked great, but some people hated it.
It looked like the equipment manager forgot the home helmets. And this is what we have to do to make up for it.
I thought it looked... You didn't like... So not a natural...
No.
Yeah, it looked good. You like it?
10 out of 10 loved it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I loved it. There's a hot button issue. I got a lot of texts and it was hot conversation in the dressing room last night. People were invested in the blue buckets.
I don't know how this... You know, we send people to the GM meetings every year and it never came up, I don't think, or I just didn't read the information, that the GMs approved that you can wear any color helmet, one of your that matches your scheme, with any jersey. So we could see some other. We could see the white helmet with the blue jersey.
Did you guys...
No, that would have looked awful.
They won't, but yeah. In theory.
Did you guys see that pro hockey game where the team forgot their jerseys,
yes.
So they wore the team's practice jersey?
It's the ECHL one, so they had to wear
That's the feeling I got when I saw the blue helmets, that they were just piecing everything together.
I can't imagine the moment when the equipment manager was pulling the stuff off the bus and went, oh.
The Toledo Walleyes. Awesome team name. The Walleyes is a really good team name. But yeah,
that must have been a low career point.
I'll be really interested to see because on Friday, Saturday, they'll be home, they'll be away again. And neither of the teams they're playing against have blue helmets. So I wonder if they'll go back to the blue helmet look.
I think it was like just a Sweden you mentioned.
They were finding themselves in Sweden. They were trying something different and then come back to North America.
I don't know. I can't wait to find out, Sammy. I can't wait.
People care about
how many more sleeps do I have until I find out?
Too many.
Way too many, man. Yeah. It's Tuesday. They play on Friday morning.
Okay.
There's no games two of the three nights.
Columbus Blue Jackets.
Oh, my God.
John Davidson, we're not ready to win yet, obviously.
Does he mean this week?
Right?
I could have told you that.
Yeah.
He says no rash moves and no white flags. Okay. I haven't got a clue what that means to Columbus Blue Jacket fans.
That was like four different messages within one statement.
No white flags. Like if they surrendered to me.
But they're not ready to win, but there's no white. Like, I'm confused on your message.
But also, surrendering is doing nothing, right? Like, it would be more in pursuit of winning if you made changes and did something to me.
So what we're hearing is more of the same.
You can expect a 50-point Goodrow season and a lot of losses.
Would you like to hear Patrick Laine talking about being a healthy scratch?
Yes.
I would.
Derek, if we had that clip there, buddy. Did I put it in there? I think I did. Maybe not. Anyways, he was talking about how embarrassing it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was saying that it was really embarrassing.
I believe he said the most embarrassing part of his career up to this point or something.
If I was half a dozen teams right now, I'd be trying to buy low
on
Patrick Laine. Yep.
Love that.
So what is his, what's his contract? He's got three more years maybe at 8.5.
I'm going to have this in just a moment. He has this season and two more at 8.7. You're right.
8.7. Can I get them down to 6?
8.7?
Can I get them to 6.5?
Dude scored 40 and 44 goals as a 21-year-old.
Yeah. What do you want to get it down to, Gibby?
6.5.
Someone who can do some scoring.
What's Brock Besser at?
I saw...
He's at 6, isn't he? So...
Yeah, you put him with the right center... And that looks like the greatest trade you've ever made.
I saw one of hockey's like premier skills coaches, Daryl Belfry, doing a breakdown on Laine, and he basically was just saying that the guy has added no pieces to his game since he came in the league. He came in as a big guy with a long stick who shoots it hard like Ovechkin from that spot, and that's still what he does. You know, no second dimension, no tricks.
Mm-hmm.
He just hasn't evolved, you know, whether it's release or passing or whatever. He's just been the same guy. So, you know, and I don't think a 30-goal score is what you want, but that's been his pace the last couple of years. If you believe he could be better than that, then yeah, maybe someone will try to snap him up.
We think we're getting closer on Patrick Kane.
Yeah, Sarah Valley was tweeting about it a little bit today when he wasn't tweeting with Tim Peel, but...
Yeah, there was a firestorm.
Let me tell you something.
He tweeted about your book today, Sarah Valley.
Yes, thank you for that. I really appreciate a little plug for Down and Back by me.
But he was linking the... Kane pretty hard to the Panthers, which
meow.
I absolutely hate and love that fit.
They are
like, it's a perfect fit.
They are up against the cap though, so I it all depends. Like, what do we envision Patrick Kane doing? Signing a 3-year deal at $6 million?
3 years? Is anyone giving him more than the rest of this
year?
I
don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know. I don't know where he feels like he is mentally and physically, or where other teams envision him being mentally and physically. Like, if he's healthy, guys, he's a nice piece to add. I know it didn't go well in New York, and yeah. I highly advised him not to go.
His hips weren't.
Shut it down, yeah. Get yourself healthy. But he's gotten there in a different way. But I got to think he's still really good.
Yeah, I mean, that was probably an element they were lacking last year, is like an offensive piece, like something like that. You can create something out of nothing.
It's a sort of a bet in yourself thing here. Like, if he signed, for example, a 1-year, I don't know how much money it would take to get him, but a lower AAV, he goes to the Panthers. They're already an excellent team. He goes there, he lights it up, and he plays really well. Then he sets himself up for a multi-year thing after it. But the opposite side of that is... He goes there, he's no good, he gets no money.
Yeah.
So it's weighing, betting on yourself or taking some long-term security. It'd be a tough one for him.
Yep. I do see the fit, though.
And I wish Buffalo was a little better and looked a little closer, because I think that would have been a fun place, I think, for him to work with some of those younger, talented kids.
This is what sucks about starting the year poorly, is your team doesn't get the chance to get better. Usually you get great players and people in a
way out of it, though. The same.
No, but
they're 3 points back in the last playoff spot.
Tage Thompson breaking a hand.
Huge blow.
Hurts them.
Yeah.
For sure. And you mentioned it, our boy Mark Spector and Tim Peel going at it on social media.
Ooh, that was quite an exchange today.
Okay, let me tell you about the media.
Uh-oh.
Okay, they compete against each other for stories.
Yeah,
but they drink together and they love each other and they defend each other.
Yeah,
which I like.
It's its own team in a way.
Yeah, boy, sometimes you just want to log off. For the
Okay,
sometimes it's the best answer. Yeah.
We're out of here. Our thanks to the very handsome Henrik Lundqvist.
Oh.
You're second.
Thanks, pal.
Oh, I'm third. Sammy's last. We're back tomorrow. Thanks to Justin Williams as well.